Hello, this is Alexander Stevenson again, back for the second series of the Napoleonic Quarterly, and buoyed up, I must say, by all the thumbs ups and likes and nice comments from so many of you who have offered your thoughts on season one. I have to confess I was a little nervous about sharing this idea with the world, but all the encouragement has been very encouraging, and I am suitably encouraged as a result. Season one, of course, covered 1792 and 1793. It was the start of a 24-year period in which the French Revolutionary and Napoleonic Wars reshape Europe, but also reverberate around the world.
France is doing surprisingly well against Austria and Prussia. In come the French, wantonly tearing up all the international treaties that have kept the peace in Europe, or at least kept the balance of Europe going, for the past 100 years.
What became clear was that what the French were bringing, they called freedom. What it amounted to wasn't freedom to choose the form of government they wanted, but the right to choose the form of government that the French had adopted.
They create a situation that is complex and violent. What makes things even worse is that there is no light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak.
Now, though, it's time for the next batch of 8 episodes, one for each 3-month quarter in 1794 and 1795. You'll hear the same format, a quick summary of the latest developments, 3 interviews with academics and military historians covering the biggest topics, and throughout, in-depth analysis from Professor Emeritus Charles Esdale of the University of Liverpool and Professor Alexander Mikaboridze of Louisiana State University in Shreveport. And there are 3 big themes which can be picked out for season 2. First of all, French domestic politics, which is a strange way of describing the tumult, the sheer tension of a body politic wound up beyond breaking point, that is the French Revolution.
People you really have to look out for are not your enemies in front of you. All the ones wearing enemy uniforms are the people standing right behind you, and this is very much what happens.
There are moments of dramatic denunciation around the end of the year in the National Convention. General purging is put on the agenda officially.
You have a tremendous irony in that the more Robespierre and company were successful, the more insecure their position became.
Then, of course, we have the fighting in the main theatres of the French Revolutionary Wars, above all in Flanders, the Low Countries, and on the Rhine, but also within a France still racked by the turmoil of counter-revolutionary insurgency.
The Chouan troops are nearly decimated, except there's one leader of the Chouan who gathers what's left of the troops and sends them into the forest and hides them in the forest.
And as things start to go wrong, and the French don't collapse as they hoped they would, the coalition just buckles under the pressure and disintegrates.
French armies from 1794 on are going to be invading other countries. They are no longer going to be desperately defending their own homeland.
What it constitutes is a continual harassing by a numerically superior army of an inferior one, and that's only going to end up in one place.
And then we'll be returning again and again throughout this second series to the dramas further afield, the action outside Western Europe, which all forms part of the story of the world in 1794.
The slaver class actually contacted the British, reached out to the British to form an alliance, and then aided the Brits in ousting the French from their islands.
Catherine the Great, by this stage, is outraged that all these people are, you know, ganging up in order to make Russia buy Prussia's friendship more dearly.
And the idea was that he would provoke a melee. That was what he was really aiming for. And in fact, the glorious 1st of June delivered a victory that hadn't been seen in 100 years.
I have to say, yeah, this has been really good fun recording this second series. So I really hope you enjoy these interviews and everything that's gone into these 8 episodes. And of course, between the main episodes, you can hear one-on-one interviews with some of those historians who I've been speaking to as well. Well, I hope you enjoy the episodes, and if you are, please do leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can follow the podcast as well on Twitter at Napoleonic_Q. There's a Facebook page that's going as well.